Hi, I'm Jablani Myberg.
And I'm Isaac Pinto. We are associate pastors at Central Baptist Church.
And welcome to our Theology Alive podcast, where we look to engage theology in the church carried out in the culture using a Christian worldview. Hi, everyone. Welcome back once again to another episode of the Theology Alive podcast.
We know that you missed us. Yeah, you know that when it's one of those Mondays and then the podcast is not there yet, you, like, your heart goes out and you surely miss us.
Must be developing some form of relationship by now.
Come on, yeah.
But yeah, we it feels like we haven't done this for a long time.
Yeah.
But it's good to be back. In fact, happy, what do you say after Reformation Day? Do you still say happy Reformation Day?
Yeah.
Or is it
happy belated Reformation
happy
Day?
Happy belated Reformation
there we go.
Day.
There we go. Yeah.
A big day in the life of the church.
Mm.
When the church went back to biblical Christianity, which is what our podcast is about, isn't it?
Absolutely. As to go back to what the Word of God says and how it shapes our worldview, and we drive our worldview from the Scriptures. So, yeah.
Yep. In fact, I think it was Martin himself who said that the church must keep on reforming. So they...
Semper Reformanda.
Something
like that.
Come on. Oh, dude, listen. Yeah. You don't go there and don't go there completely.
Yeah.
You should have just not went there.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think this is a platform that we want to use to once again remind the church of what God has called us to stay true to His Word, especially in a culture where subjectivity is taking root and relativism is growing. I think it's good for us to remind the church and remind our listeners about what true biblical Christianity is.
There
was a tongue twister there.
Yeah, there has to be always one of those,
at least one per episode.
Yeah. You guys probably gonna get more when we add one of those days, but at least one. It's kind of like our trademark, it seems.
Yes. Someone's gonna butcher a word. Or someone will just be caught up in just this cycle of saying... Anyway, so we're back again with our podcast, and we thought it fitting to return to the topic of ethics, just because we thought that this is an important topic, and we thought that, Christian ethics teaches us how to live. So one episode of a topic that tells us how to live feels like it's not enough.
Sure.
So we're going to try and massage some of these truths some more. In this episode, in fact, we're going to try to be as practical as we can with regards to this topic. But maybe even as a way of reminder, if you tuned in last time, you'd have heard us say that that the ultimate basis for Christian ethics is the moral character of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, meaning God is infinitely holy,
yeah.
He is transcendent in His majesty, yeah. And He is the author of truth.
Mm.
So all truth stems from God. In fact, didn't Christ say it? Sanctify them.
By the truth, your word is truth.
Right. Yeah. Sanctify them by the truth, your word is truth. In fact, what I like about that passage is it sort of symbolizes sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth.
Yeah.
So if God's word isn't true, then the issue is with the author.
Mm.
Since he's saying that your word is true, it means that the author who's writing it is the holder of truth.
Sure.
And that's why we're able to chat about a topic like this, because we're speaking from the source of truth.
Yep.
And we're saying, let's go back to the source of truth, because when it comes to us as mere mortals with our finite minds, we are naturally subjective. But we have objectivity,
and
that is God.
And I think that to add to that is that when we speak about ethics and good and bad, we would not know what good and bad is besides from the ultimate person who is good, who defines goodness.
Yes.
God is good.
Yes.
God defines goodness. There is no higher standard of goodness that we could let's say, try to apply or employ for our actions or behavior, but rather God defines what goodness is, and it comes from His character.
In fact, in 1 John chapter 1, let me find it. This is not a freestyle episode. I should have it ready. but in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, this is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light. Amen. That idea of light is also the truth that God is perfect, but also that God is ultimate good.
Yeah.
And immediately when I'm thinking about this idea, my mind immediately goes to Isaiah, who when he saw God, when he saw the character of God, when he saw the splendor and the light of the person of God, his response was, "Woe is me."
Yeah.
And holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is full of His glory. And in light of that, woe is me.
Yeah.
I am of unclean lips, I think he says.
Yes. I mean, the he faces, you know, ultimate goodness and holiness.
Mm.
And it just like shows, man, I'm really not worthy to be standing here. I'm doomed. I'm undone.
Yeah. Man, I really love in our youth group, we're going through for the book of 1 John. And some of these principles are just really good, because one of the things we were talking about is that idea that God is light. And the question that I asked the teenagers is, what are some of the characteristics of light? And some of them says, yeah, light exposes. Mm. And if God is light, the idea is that because He is ultimate light and ultimate good, He exposes all that is evil.
Mm.
So God will and has exposed the depravity of man, and we have it in His word. In fact, we can just see it in our society that man is fallen.
Mm-hmm.
Man is desperately wicked above all things. Mm. Man is wretched in light of the holiness of God.
Yeah. And since the problem in drawing ethical behavior or morality from anything other than God,
sure,
any system that man can come up with, it's going to be, you know, faulty.
Yes,
because man is not good or God.
Yeah, you know? its end essentially will go back to being sinful. And I loved maybe just even wrapping up of this first part here of the ultimate basis for Christian ethics is the moral character of God. I remember listening to a sermon, not this Monday, but the past Monday, and this is what the preacher said. He says, many do not believe that God is our ultimate authority and standard. But the reality is that there cannot be a higher standard for ethics than God.
Mm-hmm.
Not because He's all powerful, but because He is the source of goodness itself.
Mm.
Moral goodness is defined by the nature of God, and everything He commands is in accordance with His perfect and righteous goodness.
Amen.
So essentially, going back to Reformation Day, essentially that's what God through His Spirit revealed to Martin Luther, that you can keep trying to do good, but your good will never be enough to meet the righteous standards of God.
Mm-hmm.
You will never satisfy His demands, His righteous demands, because of your filthy hands and depraved heart. So that's essentially coming back to the reality that God is the definition of all things good.
Yeah. And so in contrast to that, to God's standards, Jabu, I think what we see in society today are codes of behavior, but that is not based on God's revealed word.
Sure.
But let's say sometimes it's based on pragmatism.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, well, it just just works, yeah. You know, it just, yeah. Or on the, sometimes just on the basis of, I'm going to feel, on the result is, there are consequences to the results. So in other words, I'm scared of getting caught.
Sure.
And so because of that,
there
is ethical behavior, but actually our ethical behavior, our actions should come from obeying what God is saying.
I think it's crazy you say it, because I mean we're gonna chat now that Christian ethics is based on the Bible, but it's interesting that, you know, when you see even amongst believers that a low view of God and a low view of the character of God will lead to a low view of their sin and how sinful they actually are.
Yeah.
Where if you see in society today, people are comfortable to choose what they would call the lesser sin.
Sure.
Ah, I'm not that bad. Mm. You know, I really need this job, so I'll lie. You know, no, I didn't do it because I was at church Bible study, so I wasn't able to finish my task. And the reality is, because the need for the job is high,
sure.
And they consider lying as a smaller sin, then it's not too bad to lie. In order to keep this job that will provide for my family, that will put food on the table, and again it comes back to a low view of God, because essentially God is the one who puts the plate on the table and fills it, and God is the one who provided the job for you, and essentially God views lying, as small as society can deem it today, he sees it as a sin, a great sin, because essentially all sin is sin against God. We sin against God first, even before we sin against each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, and we try to rationalize it, right? So to, as you say, just make comparison, and it kind of goes to that idea of relativism.
Sure.
You know, it goes like, well, is not that bad. It's different, and we try to rationalize it away. So maybe let me just throw one of the practical things that we face on our day to day, and that is just abortion, right?
Sure.
So it's a big deal and a big issue today, and you will find that there are those that will advocate for abortion and try to rationalize it in saying, well, the mother didn't have the conditions for it, and so there we like, it's not really, it's just according to my circumstances, you know, this is it would have been worse but there is a flaw there in that you don't, the someone used the example of, well, I don't go killing people around the room because there is a potential murderer in the room. So you can't just like, oh well, you know, I'm gonna end the baby's life because, well, he's not gonna be taken care of, you can't do it. It's wrong. It's bad. It's evil to killing a baby, and let's say, just you thinking, there's not gonna be enough to provide is not a justification for it. And and let me maybe just add that, you know, believers are supposed to, in loving and caring for the people around us, in support and help, which I believe the church does, you know, those that are in difficult circumstances, yet we are going to always oppose, because we believe that the scriptures say that the life is a gift from God.
Yep.
There is a sanctity of the human life intrinsically because they were made in the image yes. of God, and so it is wrong to take that baby's life.
So that's what we learn from the Christian ethic, mm-hmm. where we are taught that the standard is God, mm-hmm. and we taught that truth comes from God. So when we are faced with a situation like abortion, we need to then go to, okay, what does the source of truth say about this? What is the source? What do the scriptures, because we believe that God being true has revealed himself to us through his word, mm-hmm. but he has also revealed how we can relate to him through his word and how we can relate to each other in his word. Mm-hmm. And seeing this, we are to go to the scriptures and say, God, how can we deal with these issues? Mm. So even if you fall pregnant in a moment of pleasure or in a moment of abuse, both instances need to be filtered through the lenses yes. of scripture.
Absolutely.
And see, okay, what is our highest authority?
Yeah.
What does the Creator have to say about this? Yeah. I mean, abortion is just one of them. In fact, we're gonna go through some of them today. But I'll just say the first two in passing, and maybe we can chat about the third one. Mm-hmm. So in Scripture, we can see how to deal with some of these ethical issues that are present today. The first two is that there are no other gods. And then the second one is that there are no carved images, because Scripture says there is no other God but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For mm-hmm. there is one God, it is Yahweh, mm-hmm. the creator of the heavens and the earth. Mm-hmm. Number three then is one that, you know, it's like, it's easy to say, nah, but he made me do it. So number three is purity of speech.
Mm-hmm.
Now we can move from the obvious, you know, cussing or swearing,
sure.
you know. Everybody knows that automatically when you cuss, this is wrong, you know. Why are you looking at me like that? I haven't cussed. Did I ever cuss at you? Carsten's like, now you want to talk. I promised I haven't cussed. I haven't cussed at Carsten. Did you hear that? Cussed at Carsten. I haven't cussed at him. So please stop giving me a stank eye. I mean, I have heard Christians justify cussing. Mm. You know, driving in traffic, a guy, you know, cuts you off, and you express your anger in colorful language, and automatically you're just like, yeah, but I mean, did you see what he did? Or it's usually, nah, but you know, he forced me to do it, etc., etc. But there are those easier traps to fall to when we think about purity of speech. And for me, automatically, I'm thinking gossip, and how easy it is for us as Christians to gossip about other Christians.
Yeah. I mean, the gossip. I think it's a big one, but even sometimes the manner in which we speak, you know, there is a way that we can be speaking the truth but not in love.
Sure.
You know, in Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be gracious, sure. seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So I mean, sure. and I know I've been guilty of this, mm-hmm. in terms of maybe not using the right tone. And let me just be abundantly clear: there is a place for boldness, bold yep. speech,
yep.
rebuking that which is wrong,
yep.
and rebuking doesn't mean that it's unloving.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think it's clear that Isaac, I mean, we would like to hope so, but it's clear that Isaac loves his son. And if you saw Levi, we were at a camp somewhere, and you know, we were, you know, recording the podcast.
Yeah.
Right. Oh man, We actually campaigning, guys. If you hear this and you feel the Lord leading you to send us to a spot like this, do not ignore the leading of the Lord. So this is the spot, right? So imagine we're recording like right on the side of like a dam or a lake. And you can just hear
it, brother.
You can just hear the waters go in and the ducks far, far away, but you can hear them quacking in the distance. and you just see like this beauty of nature, and you can smell the leaves on the trees, and it was just after 2 days of rain, so there's this beautiful sunshine and it's bright, and Levi is just playing on the grass, and Levi, Melissa and Tobile are off, you know, and okay, fine, Carsten and Jamie are off on the side, just chatting away, and then you notice in the corner of your eye that Levi, who was playing right next to you, is wandering towards this lake or this dam. And okay, we're going to be dramatic, okay? Yeah. And as he's wandering towards this lake or dam, you just see, like, hovering over the waters, moving towards Levi, a crocodile. Are you going to be, Levi, just move. There's a crocodile. Obviously, you're going to be,
I'll speak in tongues.
Exactly.
a Portuguese tongue.
Exactly. And your screaming will bring screaming from Melissa and screaming from me. And they'll just be screaming everywhere. And probably get the attention of the ducks. And they'll come screaming our direction as well. But the reality is it's a warning. There's a strong warning of coming danger.
Yes.
And sometimes people get distracted by tone where there's truth. And sometimes that's what it is. It's be warned, be warned. Yeah. There's danger. You're getting caught up in something that is dangerous. Yeah. Please be warned, take heed, turn your back on it, come back to the truth, turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Yeah. And I mean, just because the tone may be not right doesn't mean that what the content of it is wrong.
Sure.
No, so sometimes, you know, I feel about someone used the expression, the tone police.
Ooh, yep.
Would like to disqualify everything that has been said because of the tone.
right. Anyway, we digress. but anyway, remember, if you're feeling led, our number
just
is...
just for a weekend.
Our number is 011. Just kidding. All right, Proverbs 26, verse 19, talking about purity of speech there, Isaac. This is something I think a lot of us fall to. This is what the writer of Proverbs says. It says, maybe I'm starting from verse 18. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking. How many times have we found ourselves being really offensive, and then we just pat the guy on the back and say, "Ah, man, I'm just joking. Come on, Isaac. I'm just joking." and I mean, those are some of the things that we consider lesser things.
The wound has already been inflicted.
Yes.
And then you're like, "I'm only joking."
And you just turn the knife a little bit and then put a plaster over the knife while it's in his back, and you're just like, "Ah, man, but I'm just joking." And sometimes, in fact, back in school, they used to tell us it wasn't in school, actually. It was probably back in, like, Sunday school days, where they used to tell us that a lot of times when you say just joking, and somebody says a cruel joke, and then they say, "Ah, I'm just joking," they finally got a chance to say what they've always wanted to say. But now they're just covering it with that bandage of, "Ah, I'm just joking." That is one of the things that I think we need to take into account. Just maybe last one is also gossiping. As Christians, it's so easy to say, "Isaac, bro, would you please pray with me for this brother?" And then we mention, "And please pray with me for Carsten." And then I go into detail about how Carsten is really getting to me, and he's really making me want to sin, and I really don't like the way he breathes. I don't like the way he combs his hair to the right sometimes. And I'm saying this to you, but I started with that. But would you pray with me along these lines? And I think that's the warning is be careful.
Yeah.
Let there be purity of speech. If you want to uphold a Christian ethic, also take note of the things that you say. Number four there is lying and telling the truth. I think we've just covered that.
Mm.
Number five is the Sabbath commandment.
Mm.
And number six is authority of parents.
Sure, I think it's a big one, even in the context that we're staying in. There is now a lot of, let's say, let the kids, let's say, almost raise themselves.
Yes,
I mean, yes. You know, you hear and. Unfortunately, we hear a lot from the States, right?
Sure.
So you hear from celebrities that is like, no, we're going to let our kids, the kids choose their genders.
Oof.
And yeah. Let's just, you know, let them, they can just choose whatever they want to do. And then the parents are just not exercising authority or letting the school or government to exercise authority over the children, when clearly the scriptures say that it is the parents' duty. And for Christians, let me just say this, for Christians, it is not the duty of the church to disciple your child, to
preach,
teach
whether.
Your child. It is the duty of the parents.
That's right.
It is not the Sunday school teacher that is supposed to teach your child in the way that he should go.
That's right.
No, it is the parents. They've been placed in a position of authority by God to instruct their children.
Deuteronomy 6 says, teach them when you're walking, when you're sitting,
yep.
Basically do life.
Yes.
We're always talking about, actually, I really need someone to do life with me.
Mm.
to your child, you are that first someone.
That's it.
We are just helping you. Yeah. We're just coming alongside.
Not even youth pastors. Sorry for you guys. Eh?
Thank you. All right. It's your primary responsibility. And I'm just supplementing.
Yeah.
On what you're already doing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, something just came to my mind now. The indictment must also go to the parents when we're talking about that Cuties show that came out on Netflix.
Sure.
The question must be,
right,
where are the parents?
Come on.
Because it's easy to blame Netflix and to blame the kids themselves. Yeah. But we are the parents.
Exactly.
Parents are to take a stand for their kids and want to see your kids grow in the ways of the Lord. In fact, one of the things that we say in the dedication service, which was said to Isaac and to Melissa as they dedicated Levi, is, do you realize and understand that your son or your daughter is a gift from God? That he has given to you with the sole purpose that you are to teach the son the ways of the Lord, that he will walk in them.
Amen.
Yeah. Anyway, we could preach, but that's not the response. That's not the job of the podcast. All right. Number seven, equality and leadership in marriage.
Okay, what do you mean there, Jabu?
So we're living in an age.
Define your terms. It's very important in this time.
Living in an age where the call is for, is the term extreme? No. Radical feminism is calling for even woman leadership in marriage. And we know that, I mean, biblically, the man and the woman before the eyes of the Lord as beings are equal.
Yeah.
They were created equal before God.
Mm-hmm.
But God has given the role to the husband that he is to be, to take after Christ, who is the head of the church.
Yes.
and his wife is to submit like the church submits to Christ. So both responsibilities are huge. In fact, the one of the big issues is that when we think about these roles, we think about it as a corporate setting. That if the man is the leader, he's like the CEO and the boss. and he's just ready to hire and fire at will. And but his responsibility is to lead and to willingly give of himself for his wife in the leadership. And she is to willingly submit to her husband as he leads them to God and to the glory of the Father. But we do live in a world where that is being attacked, where that is
absolutely
it's actually we actually being told that it's to be dismantled. Because let's not get into it, but we
it's true. So the scriptures are clear. We are equal in value but different in roles, right? And there is a strong push to just get away with these roles, but God knows better, and that's both even home and the church. Clear roles were defined by God.
And yes, men should not allow the world to allow them to take the passive route in leading their homes. Men are to be men in their homes. Men are to lead. Do not listen to the world saying that you wanting to lead biblically is toxic masculinity. No.
Amen. Preach it.
Lead as God has given you the responsibility to, as you will one day have to give an account.
Amen.
Now, number eight. Number five. You can use your words.
No.
Oh, just kidding. Yeah. All right. So we won't go into this one because please listen to our next podcast. Our next podcast will be about Christianity and the government. We know a Christian ethic teaches us how to come under the government that God has placed over us. No matter how good or how bad, God has placed the government there. He's allowed them to take seat. But in our next podcast, we'll be talking about Christianity versus the government, or Christianity and politics. So we'll just leave that on for now. Stay tuned. Also, other authorities, number 10, Christianity and civil capital punishment, Christianity and war, Christianity and self-defense, all those three.
I think that maybe it's important. I just want to mention this, that God, in his sovereign wisdom, in the scriptures, give us, even when, let's say, it's wrong to kill or to murder, yet God knows the sinful world we live in. And even tells, give us direction in terms of war and behavior and punishment for certain sins where there is, let's say, the taking of a life.
And so,
but God is. He's clear about, you know, not the intention of murder and of that. Yet there is a context of there is a concept of just war, and in the Bible we do see capital punishment and what about and self defense, and so these are things that God has even. God is just so wise that he's like, under these circumstances, this is how you behave.
Sure. All right, the next three there is abortion, euthanasia, and suicide. Now, I think in these three, one thing that I think we need to make clear off the bat is that God is sovereign over life and death. This is where it might also get tricky. Because God is also sovereign of how you die.
Sure.
So it could have been a car accident. It could have been aging, which is number 16. Or it could have been suicide.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is God remains sovereign and he remains in control.
Yeah.
Even in those situations.
Yeah.
I'll use an example. How many people do we know who ticked all the boxes that are required for a, what you'd call a successful suicide, but it wasn't successful?
Sure.
Again, God is in absolute control of life and death. But in his word, where we get our Christian ethic, he is abundantly clear that because he is absolutely sovereign, he gets to make that call of life and death.
Yeah.
And where it's outside of God, so for example, either the killing of an unborn child or the killing of yourself.
Sure.
That is you working outside of the will of God. And God desires that we live life in accordance to his will.
I think that's brilliantly
Isaac, I just have to clarify. That is the moral will of God.
I think that's brilliantly put, that God is in control and he gets to decide. You know, he's, we sing, he gives and takes away, right? It is we don't get to play God,
as it were.
Yeah.
I mean, someone listening to this might be saying, why are they skipping euthanasia? The same principle allows.
Yep.
If we're basically talking about the switch. Is it switching off the machines?
Yeah.
Essentially, again, because God is sovereign over life and death, we have to filter everything we do through the lens of Scripture.
Yeah.
If we see that the natural form of life God has allowed to come to an end, and we are just preserving life for our own good, that too must be filtered through the lens of Scripture.
Sure.
If we want to end life prematurely to save someone from pain, again, that too must be filtered through the lens of Scripture.
Yeah.
And the question must be asked, God, is this what you deem good as you're the ultimate standard?
Yeah.
And we'll see, most of the time it's no.
You know, interesting, just on the euthanasia, I enjoy listening to Al Mohler, the briefing. And so... but he was just saying...
Wait. Are you advertising another podcast
our podcast? Sorry, man.
How does that even work? Carsten, please cut that part out.
You know, there was a law and they were trying to push in terms of under these circumstances, then you can, let's say, kill a person. You know that. And the problem is, the moment you make... one exception is a slippery slope.
You've opened the door.
And at that time, you know, things like, no, it's only under this.
Sure.
Couple of years later, no, but under this and this.
Sure.
Under this and
sure.
And so.
Sure. Sure. And in the world we live in today, it just becomes this and that and that and that. But if this and this and this and that is okay, then we must also do this and that. Which is the slippery slope we're talking about. Now, the next three, racial discrimination, health, and marriage.
I think we're going to do an episode of racial discrimination.
It's going to be one of our longest episodes.
It's going to be a long one, for sure.
So we'll safely pass on that one, but we will say stay tuned.
Yes.
We will hopefully try and get it in before the end of the year, but we really are... going to dedicate some time on unpacking the idea of ethnic prejudices, and the idea of the biblical understanding of race, and how God has created us. And then there was health and marriage. We've already spoken about marriage, but just to clarify, the biblical ethic, or what we learn from scripture, is that marriage is between the natural man and the natural woman.
It's crazy that we have to say those words.
We can't just say it's just between man and woman.
But yeah, necessarily.
Yes. So any marriage outside of one natural man plus one natural woman is not marriage as we understand it.
Yep.
The world, in fact, Cyril Ramaphosa just recently signed the bill that says that if you are a marriage officer, you are obliged to marry a homosexual couple. Yeah. And
it's going to be a big clash with religious liberty. You know?
Exactly. So uprising probably in our hands. We're looking for the next John MacArthur in South Africa to stand for religious liberty. I think we need to once again clarify that marriage is an institution given to us by God, therefore he dictates the terms. I'll leave it there. All right, the next four: birth control, infertility, reproduction technology, technology, adoption, pornography, divorce, and remarriage.
A lot there. Maybe I just want to mention, just in terms of birth control, and we as believers believe that life starts at conception.
Mm-hmm.
And so even for birth control.
Can you clarify what you mean by conception? It might be a little bit PG, but.
Do you know.
When the sperm meets the egg. I know it's weird, but listen. We live in a world where we need to clarify.
Sure.
What we mean.
You can clarify.
All right. So what we're talking about is when the sperm meets the egg.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Yeah. And so when the when that happens, when the embryo, I think it's the embryo. So there is life when life begins at conception. So both for birth control or reproductive technology, anything that is going to kill that embryo, that life, we believe that is not ethical, that is not morally good, that Christians a birth control that does that, or reproductive technology that, for example, kills other embryos to give one embryo more chance for pregnancy, that's not ethical, that's not good. Yeah.
So then there's adoption there, and just probably we actually are going to talk about this in one of our episodes. Yeah. We're going to, in one of our interviews.
Yes, that's right.
We are going to have a brother come in and chat to us about the beauty of adoption. Mm-hmm. I was just in passing, you know, when you talk about the imagery of marriage, where it's the husband represents Christ and the wife represents the church, and it's that union between Christ and his church, that he gave himself up for her, and that's a beautiful image of marriage. But even in adoption, we get that beautiful image of salvation, where Christ had called us and adopted us into his family, and we see the beautiful image where we can do that today, where families can adopt children. Whether you are unable to conceive, you or your husband, or whether the Lord is leading you to adopt, adoption is a good thing, and in fact it's something to be prayed for and considered, as it's one of those beautiful images as well of the gospel.
Yeah. So I think, Jabu, there are many. And maybe I'll just read them quickly because we've run out of time. And we are probably going to touch on many of these. So You mentioned pornography, divorce and remarriage, homosexuality and transgenderism, property, the goodness and the necessity of private property, work, rest, vacations, increasing prosperity, poverty and wealth, personal financial stewardship, borrowing, lending, debt, gambling, business ethics, stewardship of the environment, and there is so many more. But we are convinced that the Bible speaks either clearly or by principle to each one of this.
Right. So I'll just close with this. The last thing we're going to chat about is obeying God brings numerous blessings to our daily lives. And as conservative evangelicals, we get nervous when we hear numerous blessings. Just because how the word blessing has been misused today, and blessing has been defined by many people today to be solely material. But this is what we mean. There's the joy. Some of the blessings are the joy of deeper fellowship with God, the joy of pleasing God, of knowing that we please God. There's the joy of being a vessel for honorable use by God. There's the joy of being an effective witness to unbelievers, the joy of increased answers to our prayers. There's the joy of closer fellowship with other Christians. And then lastly, the joy of a clear conscience and several other blessings. So God has called us. Always ask yourself, is that which I do in line with what Scripture commands? And may God always be the ultimate standard of our morality and ethics.
Amen. Amen. May God help us to obey Him.
Thank you for joining the Theology Alive podcast. Please subscribe and share. Later.